Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This episode is on Shemini Atzeret. This week we're sending out two podcasts, one for Sukkot and this one for Shemini Atzeret. Please check your podcast list if you missed the prior one, the one on Sukkot. Following on from the last episode, here are some additional ideas on adding more Torah study to your life. Pardes faculty often speak in the U.S. and in other countries. The best way to learn about the classes in your area is to join the Pardes mailing list. And the best way to do that is to donate to Pardes. Donate online at any time via www.donate.pardesusa.org. Thanks very much. You can also work with your synagogue to have a Pardes faculty member lead a Shabbaton at your synagogue. Contact us for more details. And finally, if you'd like more study on a particular Torah Parsha, remember that all previous 5 years of the Pardes podcast are available from our website, which is podcasts.pardesusa.org. I'm working on categorizing the podcast by subject and Parsha, but in the meantime, you can look up the older podcasts by date. This episode, as I mentioned, is on Shemini Atzeret and is presented by Neyma Novetsky. Neyma is a faculty member at Pardes. Her focus is Tanakh. And now, Neyma Novetsky.
Thanks, Larry. This week, as our Chagim come to a close, we celebrate the last holiday of the cycle, Shemini Atzeret, a holiday which often gets eclipsed by Simchat Torah, but which really should stand out on its own, especially since one of its central features is a prayer for rain, so needed in Eretz Yisrael. This theme of rain, of water, is actually one of the main themes of Sukkot as a whole. In the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, we read, Ba'abar prakim ha'olam nidon. In four different time periods, the world is judged. Be'pesach al ha'tfuah, on Pesach for the wheat. Ba'atzeret al perot ilan, on Shavuot for the fruit of the trees. Be'Rosh Hashanah kol ba'ay ha'olam ovrim lefanav kivnei maron. On Rosh Hashanah, all the people come before him as sheep. In other words, it is a time of judgment of people. Ubechag nidonim al hamayim. And on the holiday, in other words, on Sukkot, we are judged for water. And in fact, much of the Sukkot holiday revolves around water. According to some, the reason we take the four species we do is because all need water. If you just look at your aravot after just a few days of the Sukkot holiday, one can tell they need water. And thus, the four species all relate to our requests for rain. In the time of the Mikdash of the Temple, one of the main ceremonies of the holiday was the drawing of water from the Shiloach spring and doing the water libation. This ended with much celebration, with Simchat Beit HaShoeva, the Simcha, the happiness of the drawing of the water. This was so central and so happy an occasion that the Gemara tells us that one who had not witnessed it has not witnessed true simcha, has not witnessed true happiness. All this praying for rain comes to the fore on Shemini Atzeret, that last holiday of the month of Tishrei, in which we reintroduce into our Amida prayers the statement, Mashiv haruach umarid hageshem, that God should bring down rain. And thus we begin the official quote-unquote winter with Tfilat HaGeshem, with the Tfilah, the prayer for rain. With these prayers for rain in mind, I wanted to spend the rest of this year looking at two stories from Tractate Ta'anit, which speak about people's prayers for rain. The Tractate as a whole actually contains a whole bunch of different stories about miracle workers who, living in times of drought, managed to bring rain when needed. I wanted to focus on two of these stories. One is the very famous story of Choni HaMa'agel, Choni the circle maker, and the second is a much less well-known story about a rabbi named Rabbi Yonah, the father of Rabbi Mani. We'll compare the two stories, and perhaps more importantly, the two characters, Choni and Rabbi Yonah, to see how each pray for rain and perhaps how each relate to God in their prayers. We'll start with the more famous of the two stories, that of Choni. Many are familiar with the basic storyline. Since no rain has come, people turn to Choni, and they ask him, please pray for us. He draws a circle. He stands inside, and he says to God, I won't move until you make it rain. Eventually, God listens. The full story, though, is a bit more nuanced, a bit more complex. We'll read it together inside, translating as we go, looking at some of the questions it raises and the character portrait that it draws of Choni. There's a story when the people sent to Choni HaMa'agel. Pamachat yatsa rov Adar v'lo yarduk shemim. One year, most of the month of Adar had passed, and it still had not rained. So this, of course, is very close to the end of the season. And if it doesn't rain now, you've lost your rain for the entire season. So shachul l'choni hamagel, they sent to Choni the circle maker, hit palel v'yarduk shemim, please pray for us so that it should rain. Hit palel v'lo yarduk shemim. He davens, but no rain comes. Aguga v'amod v'tocha. And so here, he draws his circle, and he stands inside it. And here the Gemara actually compares him to the prophet Habakkuk, who also demanded of God that God listen to him. And he says to God, Ribono shel olam, master of the universe, Banecha samu pnehem alai, your children have turned their faces towards me, Shani keven bayit lefenecha, because I am like one of your household. Nishba ani bishmecha, she'ini zaz mikan, ad she'terachem abanecha. I swear before you, I am not going to leave this circle until you have mercy on your children. Immediately, some rain starts to fall, but it comes down in drips and drops. Amrulo tamidav, kimdumin anu she'en kshamim yordim ela lahatir shvuatacha. So Choni's students turn to him and they say, it seems like it's raining, not really to rain, but just in order to make sure that your oath has been fulfilled. Amar, lo kach sha'aldi. And so Choni turns back to God and he says, that's not what I asked for. I didn't ask for drips and drabs. Ela gishmei barot zichinu marot. I asked for rain that's going to fill cisterns, that's going to fill caves. Yardu bizaf. And so the rain comes down this time in anger and torrents. Acha kol tipa v'tipa kim lo pia chavit. Each drop is huge. Amulo tamidav. And once again, Choni's students turn to him. Rebbe, kimdumin anu she'ein kshamim yordim ela la beit ha'olam. It seems that the rain's coming down to destroy the world. And so once again, Choni turns to God. Lo kach sha'aldi, that's not what I asked for. Ela gishmei ratzon bracha u'nidava. I asked for rain that's going to be a blessing, that comes from a point of generosity and willingness. Yardu ketikanan, they came down as they should. Ad she'alu kol ha'am lahar habayit mimnei hagshamim, until the entire nation went up to Har Habayit, to the mount of the temple, because of the rain. Presumably there was enough rain that they had to go to a high point in order to escape from it. Amrulo. And so once again, the nation turns to Choni. Rebbe, kishem she'et palata she'erdu, kach et palel v'yalchu lahem. The people say to Choni, we've had enough rain now, and just as you daven that they should come, please daven that it should stop. Amar lahem, kach mekublani she'in mitpalalina ruv hatova. Choni says, but you're not supposed to daven to stop a lot of good, right? If you get a lot of good, you should appreciate it. You don't ask for Hashem to stop it. Afal pichem, he says, even so, havili par hoda. He tells them, bring me a cow. And here the word hoda is somewhat ambiguous. It could either be taken from the word hoda'ah to mean thanksgiving, or from the word vidoy, confession. Either way, it seems that a similar thing is going on. Either Choni, in order to point out to God that we're not ungrateful, even though we're about to ask him to stop having it rain, he says, let me bring a thanksgiving offering to show God that we are really grateful, even though I'm asking you to please stop. The other read would say, he's saying, bring me a cow for confession, because in asking God to stop this good, we're doing something wrong and we need to confess. Either way, they bring it to him. Choni davens, and miyad nashva haruach v'nitpadru ha'avim. The wind comes, disperses the clouds, v'zacha ha'chama, and the sun comes out. V'yatsu ha'am l'sadeh. The people go out into the fields, v'yaviu lehem kimhinu pitriot, and they go and gather mushrooms. Until this point of our story, it seems The people have asked for rain. It takes a bit of time, a little bit of cajoling and convincing God of what type of rain. But finally the rain comes. There's plenty of it, so much that all of the mushrooms grow, the people can go and gather it. The story, though, doesn't end there. The story ends with a conversation between Choni and another rabbi of the time, Shimon ben Shetach. Shalach lo Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach sends a message to Choni. Il male Choni ata, had you not been Choni, he says, gozrani alecha nidui. I should have decreed upon you that people should not be talking to you, that you should be sent out, excommunicated. And he continues on. But what could I do when you come and beg before God and he actually does what you ask him to do? Just like a little son who goes and begs his father. And his father does whatever it is that he wishes. Abba, the son says to his father, go and wash me in hot water. And then immediately after he says, no, go and wash me in cold water. Give me nuts, shkedim, almonds, afar sekim. Give me all this stuff. And what does the father do? Vinoteno. And the father gives him. So that's the story of Choni. And it's a story that I actually think raises several questions. First of all, why is it that God plays with him? If God in the end is going to give those gishmei bracha, rain of blessing, then why make it into a game and make it take so long? Why first give him just drips and drabs? Then why give him such rain that it's coming down in torrents? If you're going to give in the end, he might as well have done it to begin with. Second, what's the significance of the fact that the story tells us the people went up to Har HaBayit, that they went up to the Temple Mount? On one hand, it might just be a simple way of telling us how much rain there was, but you wonder, is there more to it than that? Similarly, is there any more significance to the fact that they collected mushrooms at the end? And of course, how do we understand Shimon ben Shetach's words at the end? Why is he so upset? Why does he want Choni excommunicated if Choni managed to bring rain after an entire season in which there was drought? I think many of us, especially those of us that have learned the story not inside but rather orally, grow up with a somewhat positive portrait of Choni. But the Gemara seems to be giving us subtle hints that maybe not all is right. Choni comes out sounding like a petulant little brat. And Shimon ben Shetach tells him so. He tells him, you're a son that goes and begs his father, I want cold water, I want hot water, I want this, I want that. You're demanding things. This is God you're talking to. Is that the way we talk to God? And the truth is, God himself seems to be saying the same thing. Because he plays with Choni at his own game. Choni, you're going to demand of me? I'll give you what you want. I'll give you what you ask for, which is not what you want. He pretends that he doesn't know what Choni is asking for. But even more so, I think, he hints that perhaps there was a better way to ask. That line about the people going up to Har HaBayit, to the Temple Mount, is perhaps a subtle way of saying, maybe that's what you all should have been doing. All of you, not just Choni, going up to the temple to pray together to God. Not from a point of chutzpah, not from a point of give me what I want and demanding it, but from a point of supplication and asking and begging. There's another hint, I think, also, that when the rain stops and the people go out and collect, what do they collect? They collect mushrooms. And again, on one hand, this is just to tell us that things have grown because of the rain. But I think it's important to note that of all the things that they tell us that grew, no mention of wheat or barley or anything that's very useful, but rather mushrooms, which have very little nutritional value. And again, perhaps this is a subtle way of saying, be careful of what you ask for, be careful of how you ask, and recognize that you might not always get what you want if you don't ask for it in the right way. All that said, it's important to note that in the end, even though Shimon ben Shetach is obviously upset at the way that Choni went about asking, at his chutzpah before God, he doesn't end up excommunicating him. And in the end, even though we said that God is maybe playing with Choni, in the end, God does give Choni what he wanted. And to some extent, we wonder why. Is this the model of how to pray? So let's leave that question for a second as we compare this story to another one, to a story about Rabbi Yonah, a story a little bit less known. I'll read it inside. It's much shorter than the first one. Rabbi Yonah avua de Rabbi Mani. Ki hava mitzarech ama lemitra hava elevete. So there was a person named Rabbi Yonah, the father of Rabbi Mani. And when the world needed matar, when the world needed rain, he used to go to his house. Vamar lehu, havali gualki, veizil ve'etili bezuza ibura. He says, give me a little bit of money, talking to the members of his household, and let me go and see if I can find some wheat for cheap. Right? There's been no rain, so the prices in the market have risen. And he tells the people in his household, you know what? Let me go see. Maybe I'll be able to go and find a little bit of food for us for a little bit of money. And he goes and he takes with him a sack. Ki have nafik livra, azil v'kai biduchta mikta. He goes out of the house and he goes to a low place. He goes to some valley. As it says, mimamakim kraticha Hashem, because it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, in the verse in Psalms, that we should cry out to God from a low place. V'kai biduchta tznia, umnachasei besaka, ubai rachme, va'atei mitre. So he goes and he stands in a very humble, modest way. The sack that he had told his family he was going to go to try to fill up with wheat, he uses instead as sackcloth to wear as he prays to God. And as soon as he prays, the rain comes. Ki havi ate levete. So he returns home. And when he returns home, Amalei, aite marabura, did you go and bring us some of the wheat? Amar lehu, he tells them, Amina, ho'il vata mitre, hashta ravach ama. He says, you know what? I decided not to go and buy anything because once I saw that it was raining, I realized that it's going to be much easier in the world and the prices are going to go down imelo. So I didn't go out of my way to go and buy anything right now. What a different story. What a different character. Here, we meet someone who's the portrait of modesty, who asks quietly and who is immediately answered. In the Choni story, the act of bringing rain was a very public one. The people went to Choni and asked him, go daven for us. All know that it's he who's going to be bringing the rain, and he makes a spectacle of it so that no one can miss him. In our story, in contrast, not even Rabbi Yonah's family members know that it's he who went to daven for rain. He puts on a play for them as if he's just going to go and look for some food. And yet, it's he who brings the rain. Another important difference, though, I think, is in the way that they ask for that rain. Rabbi Yonah makes no demands. He stands modestly. He stands as a servant before a king, goes to a low place, puts on sackcloth, and humbly asks God, please make it rain. And here, God plays no games, but instead answers him immediately. The contrast between the two characters, I think, makes us wonder all the more at Choni. Isn't Rabbi Yonah the character that we want? He's the one who goes and saves the world without letting the world know. He's the one that doesn't demand of God, but asks of God. And he's the one that gets his answers immediately. So why is so special about Choni? I think the answer actually lies in Shimon ben Shetach's words to him at the end of that story, when he tells him, I wanted to excommunicate you, but what can I do? You're like a son before a father. Yes, Choni comes out like a petulant brat. He comes out spoiled. He comes out demanding. But the reason he does that is because he has a special relationship with God. His relationship with God is like that of a father and a son. He's comfortable enough to whine. He's comfortable enough to sound rude. He's comfortable enough to say to his father, I want, I want, I want. I think that the two stories actually offers up two models of davening, of prayer, or perhaps two models of relationship with God. Choni's model is that of the father and son. It's that you get to a point of relationship with God that you're so comfortable, you can ask him anything, you can ask him anything in any way you want. Rabbi Yonah's model, on the other hand, is that of the servant before the king. The one who knows his place, who goes down to a humble, to a low place, recognizing that God is on high. Who says, Mima makim kraticha, from the depths I'm going to call you. Who has humility, not boldness. Throughout the Yom Kippur service, we had been saying, Avinu Malkeinu, we refer to God as our Father and our King. And I think these two models tell us, yes, that, those two are the models in which we approach God. But I think that perhaps the ideal is not to be either an entirely choni, nor perhaps to be entirely Rabbi Yonah, but rather to be able to somehow find the combination of the two models. To be able to feel that closeness of the father and son, but to act with respect of the servant to his king. I think it's actually interesting when we think about the prayer for rain that we do on Shmini Atzeret. On Shmini Atzeret, we daven for rain. We have an entire prayer where we're begging for rain. Throughout the entire Sukkot holiday, we've been saying Hoshiana, we've been asking, we've been begging. But on Shmini Atzeret, we end actually not with a begging, but with a statement. We say Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem. No request there. We said we know God is going to stop the wind and he's going to bring the rain. And perhaps in that combination of our tefillah for geshem, a prayer for rain, and our statement, we are managing to combine the two aspects. We stand before God begging like a servant before a king, but we also stand before God recognizing that he is our father, and so he's going to do this. And we can stay as a declaration, God is going to bring us rain. And with that, I wish us all a wonderful year filled with rains of blessing. Chag Sameach.
Thank you, Nima. Chag Sameach. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.